So I assume when we turn off the AI li listening, it's lying about that. It's actually listening, it's just not telling us about it now. That's actually happening.
You don't know.
So we are Mishle, we're still in Parakeet Gimel. Again, these are all individual. So Kim, they don't really have that much of a kind of theme to put them together. And Pasuk Yud is Rak Bizadon Yutan. It's Yutan. Rak Bizadon Yitain Matzah. It's only through zadon, which often means maybe intentionally doing wrong, but in this sense, it's a sense of arrogance. I don't care about other people. Yutan will only through arrogance will there be matzah. Here doesn't mean unleavened bread; it means strife, contention, argument. So it's only through arrogance does contention happen. But et noatzim, but with no, it's the passive of etzah of advice, with accepting advice, being one who is advised, chachma, then you get wisdom. Okay, that's the Malbim, that Malbim says, b'zadon yitain matzah. Someone is trying to cause arguments. Al chukei chachma, on wisdom, v'al emet, and he's trying to argue with truth, but perhaps openly, and
What's Farhatsia? What's
Hesim
that?
publicly,
Oh, publicly. Okay.
openly, right? I'm just arguing, and again, it's for the sake of argument. I refuse to listen to everybody else. I'm not being a noetz. I'm not someone who takes advice. For Hesim, not a modern Hebrew word. It's a halachic word. I
It's
don't know.
Hebrew. It may be Aramaic, no?
It's Aramaic, yeah, but it's used all the time. So I would have thought it would have gotten itself using a halacha all the time. And Ibn Ezra says similarly, Bavur Zadon, she Yazid Isha Re'eda. The things you're doing against your fellow, you end up with strife, riva, argument. Meaning zadon gor'er matzah, it causes it, and he's saying rak bezadon. It's only with that. It's only with that kind of arrogance or refusing to listen to others that you'll end up with the arguments happen. Because the default state, you have to work on that. The default state is that you listen to others, and then you'll be wise. As the mission says, is a chacham holo maybe call it down. That should be your default state. Don't be intentionally obtuse, misunderstanding others. Then you'll get along with them. It's not that hard. And the Gra adds on this, that's just talking about learning Torah. That Torah will lead to peace, comedy, to agreement, unless you're intentionally trying to use it to cause argument. And this is the Gra. Rak Misha Yilmud Bezadon. Someone who learns with Zadon, who learns with arrogance, handle the kanter in order to provoke others. We attain matzah, that's going to end up creating arguments. Yerotze Davke Shiyamorot Barav, that's someone who just wants to say that I'm right, nobody else is right. But Osim Rivat to me is always arguing. But Noah Etanoat Sim was someone who accepts advice as to others. Someone who wants wisdom. You have to pay attention to everybody. Just show me menu and ask them what they're thinking. As it says, Ezul Chacham, maybe and that's what it means et noatzim, with those who accept advice. Otam she mit yatzim. Those who make themselves advised, who make a point of listening to others, asking others what they think. Imam HaChachma, that's when you get wise. And then,
So part of that is being curious.
you're right. So, but it's not just curious, but actually it's thinking about what other people are thinking. I can be curious and just draw my own conclusions. I have to care about what you're thinking.
I meant in terms of interested in other people.
Yes. Right. All of Mishle is about how do I deal with the other? I'm not alone. Everyone else is part of the world too. And so he continues, Honet may hevel yima. Someone who gets hon literally wealth may hevel from nothing, from vanity, yima will end up being less. Kobetz, yeah, and someone who gathers by hand, yirbeh will have more. So, like many statements in Mishlei, this is literally about wealth. I make money by working hard at it. It's metaphorically about wisdom, about Torah, as the Gra says. That wealth from vanity, have a sense of a breath and it passes, will end up becoming less. Someone who has lots of wealth, who's gathered wealth. Rakshu mehevo comes from just sudden a gust of air. Someone who wins the lottery. Not from working, Yimat will end up losing it. And so the Gra coins the phrase easy come, easy go. It comes easily, it'll go easily. Well, Misha kobetz ma'ama, but if you're gathering it one bit at a time, yegia kapo, with effort, yarbe, then you'll end up with more. And we know that about people who win the lottery, usually end up losing it very quickly. But we're going to use that as a metaphor for learning. Learning Torah, as the way the Chazal put it, when he, in the pasuk it says, chachma amdali. That is actually it's af chokhmah kam dali that they say that chacha so lam nadati ba'af mikaimali. Look at that pasuk. Someone that I learned with ba'af in the sense of in this of passion. Somebody I took effort in learning that less. Okay, and a few mishiyish lahon. So there, even if you have well in the sense of you learning, you learned a lot. Kashu mehevel, but if you didn't work at it, in bigia, you might have. It won't last. You'll lose it. Kiyishkach mehera. You're gonna forget it. Kopetz ayad yirbeh, but gathering it by hand will end up with a lot. Amishya giyah, but someone who works hard, the Torah, and struggles at it. Harbe alomdo with working afshumat, even though you only get a little bit out of it. Ki ef sharlo lomarbe, plus there's no way to learn huge amounts of material if you're going back and studying each little bit of Alpike and still a year back, you'll end up with more. Everything that he learns, he will have. And he won't forget it, he'll gather it more and more. It's a way of learning. That's an important lesson learning that cramming doesn't lead to learning. We've all spent all nighters before finals cramming, and you know it's gone the next day.
Absolutely.
And the Gemara talks about this in the Avodah Zarah, and Rashi puts it right. And it's Oseg Girsato Chavilot Chavilot. Gemara talks about if you try to learn your geras, Girsa, learning Chavilot in bundles, like all at once, you'll end up with less. Sheishtakech, you're going to lose it. Well, you're going to lose it one bit at a time. And this idea of Chavilot. And bundles mean degrees harbe yachid. Try and learn everything at once. Put it together. Any yachol lachzor lav, and you can't review it. Pamim rabot. You can't review it many times. Mishkachach, it'll be lost. This idea that's going from this pasuk of hon mehevel yimat. It's making basically a midrashic pun. Is that not hon mehevel from vanity, but mehevel from bundles? You try and do too much at once. That's the Marsha says it. That a hay shall hevel is chalevet bechet. Then it says a chet there, otot aleph chaf hey ayin, that the guttural letters. So we're going to read as hon mechevel from bundles. Okay, because the problem is that whatever you learn, you forget. This is this German guy named Hermann Ebbinghaus in 1885, looking at forgetting. He was trying to memorize things. Just like random sequences of letters. He found right then you could remember a sequence. 20 minutes later, it was almost half gone. Hours, day, 6 days, month later, you can retain maybe 20% of this. That's consistent. Just memorizing stuff, it's gone. So instead, you have to do what's called spaced repetition. You gotta keep practicing it. And not just once, but over the course of that 20 minutes, hour, day, 6 days. This is called the spacing effect. The spacing effect demonstrates that learning is more effective when the study sessions are spaced out. More information is encoded in long-term memory by space study sessions, also known as space repetition, than by mass presentation or cramming. First developed by Hermann Ebbinghaus, published in 1885, of Über das Gedächtnis, memory and experimental kind of psychology. And here's what he finds with that. So here's how much you remember, and then you lose it within 20 minutes, but you repeat it and it goes back. You remember it again. And then within a day, you got to keep doing it. Eventually, you lose less and less. So if you can
Is this the
practice,
guy who wrote the psychology book?
this is a guy who wrote the psychology book. But it's true, right? Everyone talks about Chazara. You try to learn something, you've got to do it over and over again, little bits, and come back to it. Otherwise, it'll be gone. If you can say you've reviewed the same stuff over, here we go. You got five times in a month. It'll probably stick. You remember to do that. And so the Medrash cites this pasuk from Kohelet when he talks when Shlomo was talking about wisdom. Gidalti vosafti, I grew great. I got more. Kol she'alufanai more. I had more stuff than everyone in Yerushalayim. Af chachmati amdali, even my wisdom lasted. It stood up for me. So the Midrash takes this off, chachmati, not as but my wisdom, or even my wisdom, but as the wisdom of my nose, the chachma of my af. Yo, af chachmati amdali, amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Torah shelamadti ba'af, Torah that I learned ba'af, yikaimali, that's what lasted. While af usually indicates anger, a charon af, here it refers to bizeyat apecha, tochalecha, or the sweat of your brow. That's what means lambda ba'ah. If you've got to be working on, you're going back and back and back. That's what's going to last. Mima says that you came to Marmez Lamash Lama Bigia. Talking about what you learned with effort. And af means bezeyat af, or the sweat of your brow. So the Rambam brings us to halacha, that learning without work isn't learning. You're not going to remember anything. Ein divrei Torah mitkamim b'mi shemerapeh atzmeu lo'aleihen. The Torah you learn is not going to last for someone who is weak about it. Lo be'elu shelomdim mitoch idun, and not for someone who learns out of pleasure. Umitoch achilas di'or, while you're busy eating and drinking, you got to focus. Sorry, I got to keep drinking here. Despite the Rambam. Hopefully I'll remember something. Elamisha, but you gotta kill yourself over it. Mista'er gufo tabir. And you're in pain. I mean, he's saying you gotta feel it. Litain shana na, you're not gonna sleep. Tumuna, not gonna rest. So Amr Chachmim Derech Remez. So the Chachmim hinted at that with a pasuk, Zotat from Parshat Chukah, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yemut Ba'ohel. This is a law about someone who dies in the tent. Talking about Tumah. It says one way to read that is in HaTorah Mikayemet, if you want Zot HaTorah, El Misha Mimit Atzmo Ba'ol Le'Chachamim. You have to die in the tent of life. You got to work at it. Kenar Shlomo B'Chachmato, and similarly, when we quote the pasuk, Ach Chachmati Amdali, that the Chacham Shemlanati Ba'af, it's the things that I learned with sweat, here to be at last. Amru Chachamim, Kruta. It is a promise. Covenant. God gave us signed the covenant. Midrash. Anyone who works in the Beit Midrash, works naturally, works on learning rather, will not forget it quickly. More than that, and anyone who learns out loud, that works as well. It's worth engaging all your senses, not just reading, but you gotta say it out loud. But learning quietly is easily forgotten. So I'm the one doing the talking, so I'll probably remember this. Somebody's listening, it's a lot easier to forget anything I'm saying here.
That's true, though. Like, I remember learning, about working memory versus long-term memory. And when you just like learn something, initially it goes into your working memory brain, but then you have to move it over into the long-term memory.
That's the part that takes work. You gotta go back. Because that part actually gets pretty boring. Right? Because you figure that the time to start practicing is after you already know it. Then you gotta start doing it until it becomes part of that long-term memory. The
Well,
irony
I
of
don't believe this, but basically, because they're still talking about, the how memory works, and here's Shlomo talking about it thousands of years ago.
Right. I mean, these sorts of things are not a secret. I think everyone kind of realizes that quickly. I mean, someone may have not done the experiment and timed it with, strings of numbers and dozens of people trying to do this. But that fact that if you just read it quietly yourself, you're going to forget it within a day. We all know that. We've all experienced that. But the irony is that after the Gemara discusses all this, this is Gemara in Avodah Zarah, has implications for learning that if you don't keep repeating, you don't work out, you're not going to learn. The Gemara says that nope, nobody does this. They don't. People don't learn in little bits. Reviewing it over and over again. This is Gemara. Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. What does it mean? Our pasuk where it says Hon mehevel yimat kobetz al yad yirbe. That's our pasuk, right? That wealth from nothing is going to be lost. Talking about wisdom. If you try to learn in big chunks at a time, get it all at once, you'll end up with less. But you gather one little bit at a time, then you'll get a lot. And Amar Rabbah, same Rabbah says this, Yadai Rabbanan Lahamilta, the rabbis know this fact. Avri Allah, and they violate it all the time, and they violate it. Brothers tell you don't to feel guilty about learning, even if you're not returning it. Sorry, even if you're not retaining it. The act of learning is itself a mitzvah. It has value. You're just rooking the words, I know that. It's not the same thing as learning that you're going to absorb it, you're going to last forever, but it has value in and of itself. And again, the Gemara continues on. Say, Amar Rabbah. Same rabbi saying this. Olam yilmad adam Torah. A person always should always learn Torah, but achar kach yageh. And afterwards you can study it. Just even get the words there. It says b'torat Hashem chatzo that the Torah of Hashem should be what you want your chefetz. But then afterwards b'torat tel yageh yom v'layla. Then you can study it day and night. But Rabbah continues. A person should always learn the mishkach, even though you're going to forget it. Still worth learning. Even if you have no idea really what you just read. It says, Hilim, Garsa Nafshilatava. Literally, my soul, garas means to grind coarsely. That's used for the sense of learning. But here, his point is that from Shatava, for what I want, it's garas lokativ, that this learning is in the sense of garas, coarsely ground, lokativ, techina, finely ground. I can get the big bits at a time. This still has value. I can learn it as girsa, coarsely ground, just reading it once, it's a whole bunch at a time, I'm getting a whole bunch of things that it doesn't really sink in, but at least I've seen it. Or I can learn with Tichina, going to be EU and going over finely, going over each detail. And this was from an article from Rabbi Jacob Neusner. I've mentioned him before, right? He was a rabbi professor at Brown and then South Florida, who is like wrote over 900 books.
Wow.
The joke about him that future generations will be convinced that that Neusner was a school, not a single individual. Because clearly no one person can do that. And he also always disagreed with everybody, including
I
himself.
think Rabbi Eisenman studied with him
That's
at some
correct.
point. Yeah, I think he was his teacher at some point in, I guess, at Brown. I don't know where they knew each other from.
Who is this? Eisenman?
Do you remember Rabbi Eisenman? He used to be part of Block, Shiva High School.
Okay. I don't know, but yeah.
Maybe, when did you come here?
94.
Oh, he left in 93. Or no, I think he was married. He was here for a year or two, maybe. I don't know. You may have just missed him. He
Anyhow,
worked with Rabbi Rosenblum.
okay. May I believe it? He's brilliant. I love reading him. I was at Hopkins with his son. But he had an article, this is from 1984, where he contrasts what we call learning, the Yiddish word, what we do when we go to shiurim, and real learning. That he's complaining, he's being sarcastic. Study the Torah turns out to constitute a ritual of little study and virtually no Torah. Learning forms a labor, that real learning, not of discovery and testing, but repetition and revalidation. Learning becomes a process not of discovery, but of renewal, not of an inquiring testing of possibilities, but of displaying an intellectual form, one's loyalty and devotion to the revealed truth of faith. He's not happy about this. You're not learning anything by all things we do, we just read what's already there. Statement is simply learning and learning have little to do with one another. We teachers aim through teaching to make ourselves obsolete. We want our students to be able to do things on their own. If my students could only repeat what I say without critical examination renewal, I should regard my teaching as hopeless. He's saying that as a professor. Of course, he's lying, because what professors, actual professors in real colleges want their students to just parrot back what they're saying. But we all know how to get A's, and that's by just repeating. But the fantasy of university is that we're going to teach the students to think on their own. I therefore have to judge the so-called traditional setting for Jewish learning as worthless, hopeless, and pointless. He's really harsh. That's learning. That's garas. That's coarse. You're not going to remember anything. You're not going to think in different thoughts. And this was from an article from a book from 1983 by Samuel Heilman, who's a sociologist who actually decided to actually, as a sociologist, look at Orthodox Jews. Like, obviously, they're not going to go away. We got to start thinking about them. Early on, I realized that for many of the Jews I was observing, this experience was more than the assimilation of knowledge, what we call learning. I'm going to shiur. One thing, many seem unable to re review the text on their own. Another, even those that learned a lot and displayed an erudite familiarity with the text, took apparently great pleasure in repeating what they already studied rather than looking for the new and yet unknown. Best questions to ask were those the texts themselves asked, and the best, if the only true answers, were those already written on the pages before one. And when you come up with a brilliant answer, you always want to see somebody else who said that. Baruch shekibanti. Finally, they all spent more time in class getting their feelings about Judaism off their chests. More time schmoozing than learning. Really, much more than learning or accumulation of knowledge of information about Jewish texts was going to be text about Jewish texts that was going. They said, nobody knows they always disagree with himself. It's about 10 years later, he wrote a book about how incredible learning was. What it meant was it said, you're not learning purely for intellectual reasons. Yes, if you can do it for intellectual reasons, you gotta do the work and do the repetition and go into it and think about it deeply. But part of what we're doing when we're learning is getting closer to God. And that has value in and of itself. He put it very poetically. And the Judaism theological voice, the melody of the Talmud. Pretty amazing book. I think it's out of print. I gotta find it. That God sings to Israel. Torah is God's song in secular descriptive language. In Judaism, God is made manifest in the Torah, and it is the Torah that Israel meets God. Go to an academy and stand against the wall and listen to the cacophony. As men, young and old, shout at each other in animated, also ritualized argument, still hear the inner rhythm of the shouts and grasp. They're not yelling at one another, but singing to one another. In fact, there's a pattern of sing-song, an array of civil arguments commonly put forth through reason, argument, decision, an explosion of violence, sound, crescendos of phrases, rivers of words, all of them flowing in a powerful current, deeply felt, sincerely meant. The stakes are high. So the men shout at each other, sing to one another, the chant bearing the signals of the sort of argument that is being mounted, the convention of thought that is being played. So we learn with two different purposes, and yes, hon nehevel yemat, and if you, what you're accumulating in this very shallow kind of learning will be lost in the sense of the actual learning, what you're getting out of it. The actual details, it's not going to stick. That'll only happen when you repeat it and go over and over. That's the reality of what human beings are. But we still have the Torah Hashem Chefetzo, Torah Toya Gemar V'Layla. That the Torah is the Torah of Shem that becomes Torah Toya, it becomes your own Torah. That's where you get closer to God. So both of those are important. So feel free to just to listen, absorb what you can, and all these details will be forgotten. I know that. You're not going to go back after that. We're not even recording it too. I can review it with the AI, but we're still getting a little taste of what Torah means.
I said you could put the AI on once I was off.
Okay. I haven't put it on. Stuck with that. So the puzzle continues. Tochilat memshacha machalev. That hope that lasts, that's left unfulfilled, is a sickness of the heart. It's chayim tava ba. But a desire that happens, that's a tree of life. Now, Koren translates that. Hope deferred sickens the heart, but desire realizes a tree of life. So,
What
JPF.
is basically this idea that over time, between what I'll call the easy learning as opposed to the serious learning, that it all works together as far as you wanting to learn to really get involved?
Okay, but I think actually in this, just taking it straight, it's not directly about learning. It's one of these psukim that I would take as one of these common proverbs that Shlomo's, taking something that people just say. Everyone says that, right? That, what is it? What happens to a dream deferred?
It's really like a raisin in
Pulled
the
up
sun.
like raising the sun. Remember that Hugh Langston poem?
It
That
was a
sounds...
play by what's her name, Lorraine
Lorraine
Hansberry.
Lansbury raising the sun based on that.
Yeah, she quoted, I think she quoted his poem at the beginning.
Very fun. But that's got kind of the sound of it. There we go. That's
Yeah.
there we go. Come on. Let's take time here. We'll get there. But that's with a sense that this is a common proverb that someone's using it for his own purpose. I'm going to turn it into this dirt, to this idea about Torah. Right? It hurts to want something, not get it. And we get it, it's like being revived. But when he pulls in this phrase of Eitz Chaim, it obviously makes us think about those other psukim about Eitz Chaim, like Eitz Chaim hi machzikim bo, the Torah mechayim. We sing that every time we put the Torah back. That Eitz Chaim is specifically an expression about Torah, or the like in Perek Yud-Aleph, Prit Tzadik Eitz Chaim, righteous producing Eitz Chaim against a mitzvot, like a nefeshot chacham and nafshot chacham, and that is the produce of a wise soul. So Eitz Chaim is referring to chachma and Torah. What does it mean? So the Gemara says about this, Yonachanan, someone who spends a long time praying, Ma'yanba, and stresses about it, looks at it, right? I want this, please God, give me this. I need this, please God. So Bali, that's just gonna lead to heartbreak. It says, Mushacha, right? That's your hope that's drawn out. Is a sickness of the heart. You keep asking for the same thing over and over again, it's just gonna make you miserable. Even the concept of tefillah. Mai tekante, so what can you do about it? Yasok b'Torah. They should learn Torah. Eitz Chaim tava ba'a. Eitz Chaim el Torah. Eitz Chaim is obviously referring to Torah. Eitz Chaim lachazik ba. And so they are flipping around. It's not that when fulfilling the wish is an Eitz Chaim, the source of life. But the Eitz Chaim, the Torah, as the Eitz Chaim, will be a wish fulfilled. Okay, it creates desires that will be fulfilled. Because you have to be careful what you wish for. Interpreting this as meaning that if you have values that come from Torah, you will actually have achievable desires. And they'll be good, and you'll be happy when they happen. Otherwise, you're going to want things that actually aren't good for you. You have to be careful what you wish for. You might get it. This is from the Baal Shem Tov. Is a famous interpretation of the pasuk in Ashrei. You say, "Ratzon yireh v'yaseh, bet shavatam yishma v'yoshiem." Right, that Hashem does the will of those who fear Him and listens to their cry and saves them. And the question is, what does that mean? It's back. What do you mean? Hashem is going to do what at least his those who fear Him want. Yireh will do what he'll do what they want, and then he's going to save them. Yes, the Kfar Asa Ratzon Yireh. If he's already done what they wanted, fulfill their will. Matzrich Olishmo Shavatam. Why do we need to listen to their cry? Well, she had to save them. But that should be it. But Kol Panim. It is Kol Panim Ipcha Havelei LeMeimar, and certainly, you should have reversed it. Sorry, you should have reversed it. Shomea Shavatami hears their cry, and then Yiratzon then he's going to do their will. Ubiyar explains it. Barach, that we see that one of Hashem's midot. Shomea kol korimoto. Hashem listens to prayer. Hashem's willing to give you what you ask for. The tova or l'ra, whether it's good or not. Hashem, if you're praying for something, Hashem may give it to you. Chazal said in Brachot, Ganva apuma medcharta rachmana kari, that even a thief, as he's burrowing and trying to break into a house, calls out to God. The criminal, but says, God help me break into here and steal lots of things. So listen, Pitomarim Cain, if that's what you're going to say, if that's the case, my hefresh be yesh be tzaddik v'rasha. What's the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha? God listens to everyone's prayers. Ubiyar explains ki yesh hefresh gadol. It's a big difference. Ganav nishman tefilato, as the God of Hashem will listen, may grant him his wish. He's going to break in successfully. Sheyachlok no. V'acharkach shenitpas al ganivato. But once he's caught, and he realizes the consequences of stealing, he can be punished for it. Ozer v'korei lo yiparach. He calls out to Hashem, "Well, save me." Shuv lo ne'aneh. Then God's not going to will not save him from the consequences of having accomplished what he wanted. He's already chosen this path. So the tzaddik will be in a position of ratzon, will do the will of those who fear him. But then, shavatam yishma, you realize, oh, this was a mistake. Protect me from my own decisions. Hashem will save him from that. All right, a tzaddik, hamit valela, is a davar. Tzaddik who prays for something. Gam sheyodea Hashem, sheein zelo tovato. Hashem realizes it's not for good. Hashem may give him that. The tzaddik is one who realizes this was wrong. Korel Hashem calls out to God. And then Hashem, out of his mercy, will hear Shavatam Yishma v'yoshiyem. Bekol makom will still save them then. So the Eitz Chaim here is that as the Torah, it helps us realize which of our wishes are actually desirable. And that's where we be careful. And so that's the idea we were talking about through here about virtue ethics. Being a good person, you have to be a good person, and then you'll do good things and you'll want good things here. And that so the things you desire will become an Eitz Chaim. That's the thing. Be careful what you want, because you might get them. Think about the consequences of that. And so Shlomo continues, Abaz le davar, yechal be'alo, someone who spurns literally a word, presumably talking about Chachma and Torah here, who spurns the Torah, yechal be'alo will harm him. Translates that. Abaz ha-davar, disdains a precept will be injured thereby, has that. But the yerei mitzvah, someone who respects the commandment, hu yishalem, that person will be made whole. Gotta take the Torah seriously. Toi b'charitzut, taking things seriously. And so here someone is reminding you, take the Torah seriously so that your desires and aims will help you and not hurt you. Rashi says, baz ha-davar yechal be'alo, someone who spurns the word will be damaged. Torah, you reject one of the words of Torah, Sof Shem Mishtakenalav, eventually you'll have to pay for it. As opposed to Yerei Mitzvah Hu Yishalem, translating Yishalem in the sense of being paid, being rewarded, Yikabel, you'll be rewarded. But in
On
this,
one hand, the payment is going to be punishment, and the other one is going to be reward.
right. Well, you're going to be paid either way, either for good or for bad. If the consequences will happen, again, that's the kind of the theodicy of Mishle, that there is no tzaddik v'ra. Everything that happens is deserved. But when he says Yerei mitzvah yishalem, word mitzvah is singular. It's not talking about the Torah as a whole, it's talking about a singular mitzvah. But someone's making our job easier. Here, take one mitzvah seriously, and you'll achieve shleimut. Don't get everything right. Kind of the parallel to the, learn everything perfectly as opposed to just kind of listening. You still get reward for that part. And we always quote the Mishnah in Makot, Rabbi Hanani ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakar Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give merit to Israel. Hem Torah mitzvot. That's why he made so many mitzvot. As it says, Hashem chavetz l'man tzidko, Hashem wanted things to be good for the sake of his tzedek, his righteous ones. Yagdil Torah, so he increased the Torah, v'yadir made it glorious. That's why there are so many mitzvot, because Hashem wants us, Zakot Yisrael, to give us merit. And so the Maral summarizes the way the Rambam interprets this. Mitzvot shenatan Hashem yibarach Yisrael. All these mitzvot that we have, pages and pages, volumes and volumes of them. Yesh l'shol aleihem, we should ask about it. Im ribui mitzvot letov lahem, k'mashma'ut pshat ha'ketuvah, and if it's there to be good for us, that's what the pasuk says. That's pshat. It says, "Yivaseveinu Hashem l'sodah kol chukim ha'eleh letov lanu kol hayomim." God commands us to do all these things for it's good for us for the long term. We say, "Kaiyelenu," we count this righteousness as justice for us. And that's what it seems to say when we say, Yisrael. Hashem wanted to allow us to be to merit by making lots of laws. But that doesn't make sense. How can you say that Hashem wants us to merit? The more laws, the more likely we are to violate them, more likely to be criminals. The idea that under the American regulatory regime that we live, you're guaranteed to be violating something. That's right now. Right? You don't know what all the laws are. It's too hard. You're clearly doing something wrong. If your march Hashem chafetz Yisrael, how can you say that Hashem wanted us Israel to merit? That's why he made so many vote. That doesn't make sense. Mitzvot. He wanted us to be do all the mitzvot, which meant as few as possible. Mitzvot. So we don't have to keep lots of them. So we'll merit olam haba because we'll just have a couple of simple ones. We'll keep those and God will be happy. That makes more sense than having lots of them. So then we can't get everything right. Rambam, Pirush Makot, the Rambam explains in his Pirush Mishnayot, Zelashono, Mikre Amuna, Batorah. One of our fundamental principles of belief, Kishekaim Adam Mitzvah Minatag Mitzvah Karui V'Kohen, that if you get one mitzvah right, you do it seriously, do it the way it's supposed to be done, Kavanot, and you don't have other kavanot, other intentions mixed in it, you're doing this one perfectly. Ashiyasota, me'ava, doing it out of love, kemoshe, biyati, lach, the way Rambam explained it. That's enough to merit the ultimate reward. Get one mitzvah and do it right. So that's what it means to say there are lots of mitzvot. So you'll get at least one of them right. You'll do something that appeals to you, something that you feel that you'll do me'ava without other all these other covenants, without all these other ideas in that you'll do one mitzvah. You see it, atah mitzvah, and once you can do that one mitzvah, tichen nafsho bo tamaseh, you will live. You get the ultimate reward from that act. We might say yorel ikarzeh, and an example of that teaches this principle is when Hananiah ben Taradiah asked, Mani l'chayom haba, that Hananiah ben Taradiah asked his rabbi, am I going to get my olam haba? Meshiva was answered, klum maaseh bal yadcha. And he asked, did you ever do anything right? You've done one mitzvah exactly, perfectly. He gives an example of what he gave tzedakah, selflessly, generously. And that's enough for Mahabha. So we have this idea of v'yirei mitzvah hu yishalem. That doing one mitzvah is enough. So we have this balance, right? We have this ideal of learning, acting, we do everything right, we're gonna learn everything right, and the reality is that that's just aspirational. We can't do that. We can't expect to be perfect. But we still need that goal of trying to be that, of doing everything right and learning everything right, because if we don't have the goal, we're not gonna know which direction to go, we're not gonna achieve anything. And we'll close with a quote from Lewis Carroll, that when Alice asks the Cheshire Cat, we tell you please which way ought to go from here. That depends a good deal on where you want to get to. Well, I don't much care where. It doesn't matter which way you go. So you have to know where you're going in order to have a chance of getting there. Stop here.
Oh,
Continue on next week.